Amen. And you know, if those two little girls just start getting a little bit loud for you, you can always take them into the back room there. It's okay, but we don't want to keep them totally quiet, do we? You know, we want to them to enjoy being in the house of God as well. Amen. Yeah. The last few months have been challenging. But we know one thing, that God is on the throne. Amen. And I've said for quite some time now that as far as we are concerned, we are going nowhere until we have finished what God has given us to do. Amen. That's a simple fact, yeah. Right? And if God has called you, and if God is calling you or and equipping you, then you need to begin to fulfill what God is calling you to. This is not my message, but this is just going to follow on for a few minutes now. We need to be active in the kingdom of God. It's great to come to church on a Sunday and a Wednesday and say, oh, that was a fabulous service. We enjoyed it and, you know, we felt the presence of God and all of that. But what about the rest of the week? You know, I thank God for people that have come along and have rolled their sleeves up, put the working gear on and said, I'll do that, Andrew. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm serious, you know, because I might be just about 47 years old now. I get numbers mixed up a bit, you know. Come on, you'll be careful, you. And you know, I don't feel the age that at times, and I just keep going and going. And I thank God for people that just keep going and going, and the people that come along and say, I want to help. What can I do? Right? What can I do? There's all sorts of things to be done. Being involved in worship, being involved in the PA system, the camera system, the catering. The fact that Grace has just mentioned that we are starting in these next few weeks to have footings outside there, where just where that wall is, we're going to build an extension on that side there. And out there is going to be toilet facilities, storage facilities, and a new kitchen, etc., so that things are going to be easier for us in the future for this new increase that is coming along. And it don't get built for nothing. Some of us are going to roll our sleeves up and say, well, we can do that. Great when you've got, you know, you've got two hands. And I've always said, while I've got a pair of hands, I'll never be out of work. Oh, dear me, talk about a fulfilling prophecy. I'm never out of work. And you know, I just want to encourage you that when you can, come and join us. I thank God for the people that cut the grass. Oh, it looks great, doesn't it? You know, you should see my grass at home now. It's a mess. But I thank God for people that say, I'll do that. Forget about that, Andrew. I'll take care of that. It's like, oh, praise God. That's one job I can forget about. One thing I don't have to think about. One thing I don't have to even, you know, be concerned of. And know it's going to be done. And, God is looking for people that's going to say, forget about that, Andrew. I'll do it. I'll do it. And I'll get somebody to help me to do it, you know. And we'll do these things together. And together, we shall see the kingdom of God extending. Together, we shall see the kingdom of God growing. Together, we shall see God moving in power. It's lovely to see. It's Emma, isn't it? Yeah. There she is. Just turn around, everybody, and embarrass her for a minute. And a little baby there. And she rang. Well, she actually met Mick. Mick was cutting grass outside, weren't you, the other day? And they got chatting, and she said, I'd like to have my baby christened. So he says, yeah, we'll get it sorted. And so we spoke just the other day, and she's come for the first service, and Mum's with her. Bless you, Mum. Good to see you. And it's lovely to see people coming in and just to welcome them, because it's important. We're here for the community. You know, Grace and I have stood for 25 years for this building. 25 years ago, well, it's just over that now. We've moved on a few years. It's 30 years now, isn't it? It's going 30 years that we stood believing God was going to give us a building. Right? We'd left a place where I'd built two buildings. Yeah? And I said, you know, when they said they were going to need a third building, I said, that's it, I'm done building. I said, I've finished building. Not again. And then God called us out, we moved on, and here we are. And God, over 30 years ago, we were in America, and God gave us a promise for a building. We came home looking for it and spent 18 years on and off looking for a building, didn't we, Ken? We went visiting places, and by the time we got there, it had been sold, and the numerous times council had bought it, and oh, it was just a nightmare. And in the end, I got to that point, I said, I'm done looking. That's it. I'm not looking anymore. God, you're going to have to do something about this. Year 20. I'm still believing for that building. But I'm getting a bit rocky, you know. 20 years. And suddenly God speaks to me. And he tells us, shows us about this building. We didn't even know this building existed. I'm cutting the story short for now. We didn't know this building existed. Grace has lived in Doncaster all of her life. In fact, she lived probably a mile up the road and didn't know this place existed. Me, I'd never been round here because I knew if I came round here, I'd get lost. I mean, if you go the other side of the main road into that Wheatley area, I get lost in there and then I've got to come out exactly the same way I went in because I'll never find my way out any other way. So I did. I got lost in it one time. So I'd never been around here. God told us about this place through somebody else, and I rang the minister who was looking after this building at 11 o'clock in the morning. And I said, I hear the church is available. And I began to share my vision for the future of this building. And the minister said to me, she said, I can't believe this. She said, I've just finished praying about this building. And you have now told me everything that I've prayed. Wow. You know, makes the hairs of your neck, you know, stand up a bit. You think, you know, we're onto something now, aren't we? And she says, remember this is 11 o'clock in the morning. She says to me, at 2 o'clock in this afternoon, we're having a meeting and we're closing the church. And we don't know what to do with it. So she said, I'll get back to you. She did. She got back to me the next day. The archdeacon wanted to see me. He's in charge of all the fabrics and buildings, etc. So I met him a few days later. And within an hour, he just turned around and said to me, so when do you want to move in? I'm like, whoa. Now, this is a bit quick. And I said to him, I said, well, to be honest, I didn't expect the Church of England to move that fast because I know what they're like. And he says, I want to sell you the building and I want you to have bought it within 12 months. And I'm like, really? Okay, so we came in and we had one or two services and then we officially came in the 7th of September 2014 and we were renting it until 16th of December 2019. It was close within days of being 25 years to the day we were given the promise in America about this building, that it would be ours. And God told us it would be ours and the price would be unbelievably cheap. And that's another story. But you see, Grace and I have had to walk a walk of faith. And I want to encourage you today, don't stop believing. Right? If God has promised you something and it matches the word of God, not airy-fairy things like I'm going to have three Ferraris and you know. But if God's promised you something that's important into your life, then continue to hold on to that promise. Continue to use the word of God and hold on to what God has said to you. Because it's important. Because it's important that we learn to walk the walk of faith. Yeah. If you're sick, as God said he's going to heal you, yeah, then you've got to stand on that promise. Yeah. You've got to believe God. Yeah. And I know some folks will say, okay, yeah, but you know, when we get to heaven, we'll all be healed. Well, to be quite honest, at the moment, that ain't no good to me. I need to be healed now. I need to be pumping with all cylinders and the turbos running at full speed. Yes. Because there's a world out there that's dying and going to a lost eternity. Yes. So I need to be firing on all cylinders. Amen? Amen? Yes. That's where we've got to be. And I want to encourage you today. Start to say, I'm believing God. This is not whatever it is that's trying to stop you. You are not going to stop me. I am not being stopped, right? I am pressing in. I am pushing through. Amen? So I'm just wanting to encourage you right now that you know, we've stood for years believing for this place. And God has brought it to pass. And we praise God for that. And, you know, we've seen people coming and lives being changed and the process is moving forward. But you see, at the same time, God wants to prepare you for works of service. Yes. He wants to prepare you for ministry. Yes. But you know what? The most important thing is it's commitment. Are you going to be here? Amen. Are you going to be here? Are you going to stand with us when it gets tough? Are you going to be there when it gets hard? Are you going to be there when other things are calling you away? But you say, no, I need to be there first. This is my place. This is my calling. This is my appointment. Because in that, God is going to bless you abundantly. Amen. And you shall receive great rewards in heaven. Amen. You know, the parable of the talents and the given talents, and they use them and they grow them, don't they? They increase. And in that increase, the Lord blesses them and gives them more. Make some rulers of cities, etc., as it is in that parable. That's not the message, by the way, for today. That's just the follow-on to the warm-up. You know, we need to stand on the word of God. We need to be faithful. We need to press in. And we shall see God move in power. We've got, as I said, I've told you, we've got things out there that's going to be happening. Process will be, it will go in, obviously, into next year. It won't be finished this year due to various things, but we're pressing through with that work. We're going to see the power of God working, and we're going to see God changing the circumstances and situations, and we're going to touch the lives of men and women that are outside who need Jesus. Out there, people need the Lord Jesus Christ. Where were you a few years ago? You were lost and you were going to hell. Today, nothing's changed. The world out there is in a mess. But you know, heaven's not in a mess. God is still on the throne. God is still in charge. And God is going to do some great and mighty things. Amen. I want to talk really today, to talk to you about healing. Healing is God's plan to reveal himself to humanity. Think about that for a minute. Healing is God's plan for him to reveal himself to humanity. Yeah. How many of you have ever been sick? How many of you has God touched and healed? Wow, that's a lot of people. That's the power of God. Did it change your life? Yeah? Yeah? When God touches you, when you know God touches you, it will change your life. Yes, of course you can. God is so good to us. And so it is God's plan to reveal himself to each and every one of us and to reveal through you his healing power that will touch lives that you come into contact with, and you will expose people to the power and the presence of Almighty God. Would you like to do that? Would you like to be involved in what God wants for you?
Yes.
Good. Some people will try and tell me today, and I've got friends who say to me, healing's not for today. It went with the last of the apostles and it finished at that point in time. It is not for today. Well, let me tell you this. I'm a testimony that God still heals. I know that God still heals. I've seen God touch me and heal me. I've seen God touch other people and heal them. Do you know why? Because God loves you. God loves humanity. God loves humanity. He hates the sin of humanity, but he loves humanity. He loves his creation. He might not look like the way and love the way that you live, but he loves you. And that is why he sent Jesus to die upon a cross for you. And if you were the only sinner, then Jesus would have still come and died for you. Because God's love is an everlasting love. God's love is immeasurable. And so Jesus came that you and I might have life, that you and I might have sins forgiven and live a life of peace and joy and happiness in God. God has done this just for you through his Son. He sacrificed Jesus for you. Wow. And it's wonderful. And so people who are often trying to say that healing's not for today, well, let me show you some healing scriptures or some parts of references of scriptures when actually healing's first talked about in the Bible. It's always good to go to first time when things are mentioned in the Word of God and work from there. You know, I found the few days ago when we were in Cyprus, you start thinking to yourself, you know, the New Testament was written in Greek. And in Cyprus, what language do they speak? Greek. And you're thinking, it's like taking calls to Newcastle, isn't it, really? You know, they probably know more about the Greek side of the Word of God than I'll ever know. Yeah. You know, and you're thinking, oh, I feel embarrassed coming here, you know. What have I got to share? But God was good and God did some great things there. But it's just trusting God. It's just trusting God and knowing that God is there with you. Wherever you go, God will go with you when he's called you. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, chapter 20. The book of Genesis, chapter 20 and verse 17. Verse 17 says this, "And Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and his wives and his maids, so that they bore children." Wow. That's got to be some healing. You know, it wasn't one person that God touched. It was the king. It was his wives and all that were involved with him. And they began to bring forth children. There's a bit more to the story beforehand, but we don't need to go in that. This is the fact that Abraham, God's chosen man. Has God chosen you? Has God chosen you? Well, you need to step up to what God has called you to. But, okay. Goat's butt. My sheep hear my voice and they follow Jesus. So Abraham prays and God ministers and sends healing power to these people. The next time healing is mentioned is in Exodus chapter 15. Turn to Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. Exodus 15 and verse 26. "And he said, I will give earnestly heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on which I have put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer. Amen. Wow. God is your healer. I know so often it's too easy. Well, it used to be easy to go to the doctors and see a doctor. We have a doctor in our midst, bless her, hallelujah. But it's not easy to get to see a doctor these days. And I've said for years before it got difficult, we need to be going to Dr. Jesus. He's the healer. He made you. He created you. He knows how you work. I don't decry doctors, don't get me wrong. But the greatest physician, the greatest healer is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's wonderful. And God said here, I am the Lord your healer. And when you feel the touch of his hand upon your life, you know the power of God changing you and healing you. Thank God if you've never been sick to that degree that you've needed the touch of hand of God. I know I have many times. I remember once as an apprentice, as you can see, I'm only a skinny guy. And I remember lifting some work and I tore some muscles in my back and my neck, and I was in agony for a few days. And I just suddenly thought, well, hang on, Lord, I need you to heal me. So I just stood before the Lord and I said, Lord, I know that you are a healer. I have seen you heal people when I first came to you. So I said, Lord, I would ask right now, Lord, heal me. The next morning I woke up, no pain, took all the support off and everything, gone. I'm like, wow, that's God at work. But it's you and I have got to learn to believe. We've got to learn to walk in faith. Yes. You know, when we are seeking God, God wants to give to you, pressed down, shaken together and running over. God wants your life to be a blessing to others. God wants you to touch and to change other people's lives with the presence and the power of God. Yes. Amen. He doesn't want you just to come and sit here and then, oh, I had a nice time in church. It was lovely, you know. I managed to fall asleep while Andrew was preaching, so that was okay. So I got an extra nap that I wouldn't normally get and so on. And or you came to church and you said, oh, that was a lovely cup of tea and a nice bun that we had and that. So I remember that, but I don't remember anything else. That's not what we're here for. That's just part of it. We're here to see lives changed. And we're here to see each and every one of us empowered, yes, by the Spirit of God and the Word of God that will cause us to do signs, wonders, and miracles. Oh, you can't do that, can you? That's for the church leadership. No, it's not. It's for the church leadership to teach and to train you to do signs, wonders, and miracles. I've got an amen up front row, which is my wife, the best cheerleader, I know that, you know. But I'm not about anybody else, you know. But oh, thank you, I got to, yeah, come on. You know, I won't get afraid if you talk back to me, right? Will I? No, I won't. At least I know you're still alive and you're with me. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Turn with me to Psalm 103. Again, another reference. This is King David. This is King David talking about God and his healing power and declaring the goodness of God. Psalm 103, beginning at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Amen? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and everything that's in me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. your sicknesses, whatever it is, he says he heals them. Amen? This word is not a word that's just, they're not just words. This is the voice of God. This is the voice of God. He goes on to say in verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit. I was once in darkness. Now my eyes can see. Jesus came and found me. And he started and set me free. People, we need to realize that this book, the Word of God, is life-changing. It's life experience. It's something that is so important to our lives. It is crucial for living life on earth and living life in victory. Amen. Living life without fear.
Yes.
How about that one?
Yes.
That would preach a good message, wouldn't it? That made? Living life without fear. Eh? Amen. God did not give you and I a spirit of fear, but he gave you a sound mind. He gave you his spirit that holds you and protects you. So he doesn't want you to live in fear.
No.
He came to set you free from fear.
Amen.
Let's have a look at Matthew chapter 4. This is when Jesus begins to start his ministry on earth. At the age of some 30 years old. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. And Jesus was going about in all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness amongst the people. And the news about him went into all Syria. And they brought to him all who were ill, taken with various diseases and pains and demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them all. Wow. This is Jesus. And you know, we're called to be a disciple, a disciplined follower of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're called into that. That is our calling. That is the reason he saved each and every one of you. So that through you, heaven will flow.
Amen.
Through you, the power of God will touch people's lives. You are a conduit of heaven.
Amen.
Wow. That takes some handling, that really. Just think about it. You are a conduit of heaven. So literally, you can go to somebody and you can just touch them and release the power of God into their lives and say, God loves you. Jesus died for you, but he might set you free and give you peace. Amen. And that's from God for you. This is heaven on earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what we've got to start thinking about. The Lord's Prayer. Think about the Lord's Prayer. Come on. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. In other words, God wants heaven to be back on earth. Because when God created the earth, earth was just a mirror of heaven itself. No sin, no sickness, no disease. Absolutely incredible. But sin destroyed it. But because of Jesus, there is to be a renewing and a direct impact from heaven itself into our lives and the lives of others. And so that no matter what is going on out there, because of the peace of God that rests in our lives, because of Jesus, who is called the Prince of Peace, when he resides, when he sits on the throne of your life, when he is in charge, there can be crazy things going on. But God's in control. God's in control. Jesus is running my life. The world's not running my life. The Prime Minister's not running my life. His decision won't run my life, because God is going to is far supreme to all of these things. And God is able to do far more than we can ask or think. He's an abundant God. This building, we didn't have the money that they wanted for this building, we didn't have it. So God told me, offer them a certain amount of money. So we did. They grabbed his hand. Because God had gone before us. God had gone before us and prepared the way. And so you just have to rely. Follow God. Follow the things of the kingdom of God and see God moving in power. Amen. Amen. Turn to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 7. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 7. This is a story of the centurion who comes to Jesus and says, I have a servant who is sick. And I want you to heal him. And Jesus says to him, in verse 7, he said to him, I will come and heal him. Wow. Jesus is always available. Are you? Are you? Thank you. Praise God. But you know, the centurion turned around and said, I'm not fit or worthy for you even to come into my house. But I'm a man under authority. All I need you to do, speak the word. Speak the word. And my servant will be healed. And so Jesus did. And the centurion was met later on in the day by one of his servants. And he said, it's okay. He's healed. And the centurion says, what time? What time? And he told him the hour. And that was the hour that he met Jesus. Meet Jesus. Make sure you get that time with Jesus. Because in meeting Jesus, there is power that flows. There is a power that flows through Jesus Christ into our hearts and into our lives. Have a look at Mark chapter 16. Matthew, Mark chapter 16. Mark 16, verses 4 through to 18. Sorry, 14 to 18. This is after Jesus had been crucified. This is his resurrection. And afterwards, he, Jesus, appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table. And he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart. He told them off. Jesus told them off. That's what it means to reproach. He told them off. You don't believe. You've stopped believing after you've seen me for 3.5 years, healing people, raising the dead, opening blind eyes, unstopping deaf ears, and you still do not believe? They're sat relaxing, having a meal. A bit like the church today, isn't it? Sat relaxing. The state of the church today in the UK is... Well, let's not go there. Let's look at the cross. Let's look at the power of God. Amen. And see what God can do through you. Yeah. And in verse 15, Jesus said to them, go! in case you were nodding off. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. And he who has believed and is and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who have believed in my name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it shall not hurt them, and they will lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. I serve a miracle-working God. Come on. And you know, that miracle-working God needs to work through the body, Jesus Christ. And who's the body of Jesus Christ? You are. I am. God wants to flow through you. God wants to use you to his praise and to his glory. It's an exciting life. You know, when I gave up my job in engineering and everything, I had preachers saying to me, that's it, that's all you're traveling abroad, gone and that, you know, you'll not be able to do this, you'll not be able to do that. And I'm listening to them and thinking, really? Well, okay. Well, the Lord decided to make it different. In the next 3 years, we traveled more than we'd ever traveled before. We were traveling 3-4 times a year off to the States for some various reasons and so on, and just going places and doing things. And it's like, really? Sometimes we flew for 50 quid. I'm not joking. We flew at times for 50 quid. It was unbelievable. God was at work. God kept his promise to Grace and I. But we have to keep our promise to him. We have to stay faithful to him. We have to trust him in all that he's going to do and will do through us. And sometimes it's like stepping out when Jesus said to Peter, come, get out of this boat. But I am not made to walk on water. Are you? Have you ever tried walking on water? No? I have. Yeah. I once walked on water. I once walked on water.
No way.
I did. Wait for it, though. She's looking like, aren't you? What's he going to say next? I did, yeah. Trouble is, it was winter time and it was freezing cold. It was about 4 inch thick. It were ice. Well, ice is water, isn't it? Just in a slightly different form. Sorry about that. I once did one trick for somebody. I was in the States with a friend, and he'd got one of these boats that he used to go out fishing with, and he knew this sort of... it was a big reservoir, really, weren't it? And there were some little islands within this sort of reservoir. And Bob says to me, my friend, he says, Andrew, you can walk onto this island. He says, and I'll take a photograph of you. He said, because just there, if you look carefully, there are some rocks just below the surface of the water. He said, and it looked like you're walking on water. So I said, okay, we'll have a photograph of this. So I just stepped out and I walked over these 3 or 4 stones, etc. It just looked like walking on water. And he took photographs. And he took one to work and put it on his wall, you see. Well, a guy came in the office and says, is that real? So Bob says, oh, right. Yeah, he says, it's a friend of mine from England. He says, oh, I'd love to meet him. It can be deceiving. You know, what you see sometimes can be deceiving. But you know, Jesus is not deceiving. Jesus is truth. Jesus is life. And he's come to set us free. He's come to give us the power and the authority. And he said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And we have seen so many people over the years that we've prayed for in the mighty name of Jesus, and we've seen them healed. We've seen blind eyes open. We've seen deaf ears unstopped. We've seen cancers disappear. Amen. And we thank God for that. And so the Lord wants you to be involved in this. He wants you to learn to walk the walk of faith in Christ Jesus. He wants you to learn to trust him and to go with him. In Luke chapter 9 and verses 1 to 5, it says this. Luke chapter 9. And again he called the 12 and gave them power and authority over all demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom and to perform healings. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither a staff nor a bag nor bread nor money. And do not even have two tunics apiece. And whatever house you enter, stay there and take your leave from there. Basically, he's saying, trust me. Trust in me and let me do the miracles. Trust in me. Be obedient to me and see me moving in power. God wants you to know his power working in your lives. So he'd sent out the 12. We read on further and we find that in Luke chapter 10 and verse 1 it says, now after that the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was coming. God sent them out. He gave them power and authority. And today, the Lord gives you power and authority. The Lord said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. Be obedient to me. And so in this, God moves into our lives in a wonderful way. God wants you to be moving in his power and his authority. Let's just bow our heads for a moment and pray as we bring the meeting to a close. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your promises. That, Lord, you are a healing God. We thank you, Lord, that you came to save, to heal, to set free. And so, Lord, we just ask that as we come to you right now, that your presence and your power will just come upon each and every one of us. And, Father, that each and every one of us will take up the challenge to follow you. And to see signs and wonders flowing through obedience to you in our lives. Father, we just ask that your name and the name of your son Jesus will be glorified and magnified. Amen. Amen. I hope you've been encouraged to just trust God for more. And to believe God for more. Do you know, I'm just conscious that maybe you just need to give a fresh commitment and say, Lord, I want more. I need more of you. Just for a moment, let's just bow our heads for another couple of moments. And, you know, some of us have given our lives to Christ. Some of us at times have wandered away. But the Lord's still calling your name. He's calling your name, and the reason he's calling your name is because he loves you. And he wants you to enjoy his presence and his power. He wants you to learn to enjoy his love because he's reaching out to you. And I'm just going to ask if there's, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if there's anybody here who wants to just say, I want a fresh commitment to follow the Lord Jesus. I want to follow this Jesus that you've been talking about today. I want to surrender to him. If you do, just quickly raise your hand. I'll see it and then we'll chat later. So if you want to ask Jesus to come into your heart and life, thank you, I see that hand. Amen. Any more? Anyone else? Praise God. Lord is so good to us. That fresh commitment and, you know, God wants to do things in your life. Anybody else? Father, we just thank you for lives desiring more of you. Desiring for more of your presence. Father, we pray that your power would flow over your people. Father, I pray that as they read your word, that Father, you will give them a fresh touch and a fresh anointing, and that, Lord, their eyes will, their spiritual eyes will be open to your very presence. Just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.